showing up imperfectly, but relentlessly. And to me, those two components are so important, because when you take the pressure of perfection away and you just allow yourself to show up to the best of your ability, even if it's not up to par just yet, and I say yet, because you can absolutely get there. You allow yourself the permission to show up imperfectly, exactly as you are, but you don't stop showing up and you keep doing it and you keep showing up relentlessly. At a certain point, those iterations build on each other and you have no choice but to learn from them and to start to iterate in new ways. There's this point where like the skill starts to click, and once the skill clicks, the identity clicks, and then it's this whole chain of events that you're now across the point of no return.
Time to hit the gym, better do it smart. Get your own coach, there where you are. Start the day right, there in your home. With the smartest gym in the world, ready, set, go. Smart handle, smart bar, smart trainer, there you are. Customizing it right, AI, form advice. Superset will show you what it's all about. It's a total workout.
Welcome to the Superset Podcast, episode 54. This is Crystal O'Keefe.
And this is Tom O'Keefe.
Howdy.
Hi. So I, what am I doing? Shock PPL.
Oh.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
When I finished up with the summer sculpt and shred.
So now, is this one of the custom bitonals?
Yes.
Okay. So
yes,
tell me what you got going on over there.
It's, I don't know, it's called Shock PPL, which
what
I...
What does PPL mean?
People. It's for people. No?
I don't think so.
It's push me, pull you.
Power.
To the people.
Okay, I don't know.
I think it's like push, pull, legs.
Push, pull, legs.
So.
Okay, that makes sense.
Sounds like an OBGYN. But so it's a lot of weight.
Yeah?
Like it's a lot of, like the one I just did yesterday, I did almost 17,000 pounds and I'm not that tough.
And it was only upper body? Is that what you told me?
It was just upper body yesterday.
That's insane.
Yes.
Yeah. One of my tough workouts is 8,000 pounds. And I know it's all relative. Don't get me wrong. But yeah. Like my brain cannot absorb you did 17,000 pounds. 16,000 pounds.
16,500. So.
For just upper body.
Yeah.
Holy cannoli.
You think I would look better.
You look great. You look great. You did not give yourself enough credit. You look awesome. I've had some people say to me, boy, Ton's got some guns going on there.
One has said that to you.
That is not true. I have had that conversation.
No one has said that to you.
It's not true. It was one of my MedPro clients who's also a listener.
Yeah. Okay. But I certainly look better than I did.
Yeah,
that is for sure.
I think you look amazing.
Well, thank you. So
I'm the only person that matters.
That is true. So. But I was not fishing.
I know.
But we should also let people know if, like, I know we have some people that listen because they love Tonal and they can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
But we have some people that listen and they're still checking out, trying to decide
if
Tonal is for them. So to sweeten the deal, we can save you $100.
Yeah. You just use the clip out as a discount code, and you can have your very own Tonal for $100 less.
Yeah, that's just $100 right in your pocket.
And you can try it at home for free. And I mean, once you have it at home, you are not going to want to send it back.
Yeah.
Like, it's an amazing, beautiful machine. I love it so much.
It's pretty spiffy.
It is.
So what, pray tell, do we have in store for people this week?
There's new content, and we're going to kind of revisit some of the things that exist that are important. Like recovery workouts, specifically.
Gotcha. Okay. And we're also interviewing...
We are interviewing Coach Tim Landicho.
Okay.
And... I don't know how much you guys have had a chance to take classes with Tim, but he is just a bundle of energy and so much fun and so thoughtful. Like, yeah. He's deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a fun interview. It really was. Getting to sit down and talk with the coaches one-on-one. We're very fortunate in that regard.
We are.
And hopefully our conversations help you learn more about them and their personalities.
Because
it's more fun to take the classes when you feel like you know them, right?
It is, yeah, because like they'll make a little face or something that you've seen whenever they make a joke, and you can see that in a like with more depth that way. I love it.
Absolutely. So, well, before we get to all that shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeart, wherever you find the show. You can find us while we're there. Follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a rating and or review. Those are always super helpful. And you can also find us on the YouTube at youtube.com/theclipout, the name of our other show, but these episodes live there as well. And you can also find us on the Facebook at facebook.com/supersetpodcast. So there's all that. Let's dig in, shall we?
We shall.
New tonal content.
You know, there are all sorts of real, like, quick workouts available for people on the tonal. Sometimes you don't have the time, or maybe you're not in the right headspace. You don't want to do a 45-minute or 50-minute workout, but you feel like you should do something.
Well, I have to say my favorite reason for doing shorter workouts on the tonal is because if I'm doing a lot of running, like, mm-hmm. and I was doing a lot of training this year,
right?
It allows you to still get a workout in without trashing your legs, because you can only do so much,
for
right?
Sure, yeah.
And a lot of people have different reasons for using the shorter workouts, but the point is there's tons of them. They have literally hundreds of workouts that are under 20 minutes. So there are, my favorite of these are the ones that are called 20 and 20s. That there's several of these programs, mm-hmm. but also there are tons of workouts called the quick fits. And I also love these. You can kind of think of them as a workout snack because you can stack them in different ways. So let's say that you're like, I just want to do a quick thing. Let's say, I don't know, core. Core is something you could always add in. I don't care what your day was.
And nobody wants to do long core.
No.
Right?
No.
So this is...
10 minutes is plenty.
You don't even have to beat yourself up for doing 10 or 15 minutes on core, because nobody wants to do 50 minutes of core.
Right. But then if you're like, oh, I could still keep going. Well, now you can add 10-minute arms, and now you can add 10-minute legs.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you did a full body workout in little chunks, and it seemed so much easier. And that's a great way to keep your momentum going, or get your momentum going if you don't have it. It's a great way to work it in. I love those.
It's also great. Like, it's so easy if you take a day off, like not a scheduled day off, because there's nothing wrong with taking days off, but like maybe a day off that you know in your heart you shouldn't have taken off.
Yeah.
Like maybe on those days, go do a 20-minute thing. Just to still do something and kind of keep it in your head. Or like if you're new to working out, I know when I was new, like it was funny when I first started working out, I would only take, if I saw class was over 30 minutes, I was just like, hard pass. And now I kind of am in the mindset where if it's not at least 45, I'm like, is it worth my time?
Mm-hmm.
And so like it's also a great way to stair step yourself into working out and building your stamina if you're new to the game.
It absolutely is. But I also think that we should share with people some of the new classes that have just hit.
For sure.
So the first one is Quick Fit Lower Body Strength and Stamina. So whether you are a person who likes sports like skiing, maybe you like to cycle or run,
right,
or maybe you just want to feel better, this is a perfect one because this is going to help you have a strong lower body, and that's essential for everything you do in life. So you're going to work your legs unilaterally and bilateral. So that's perfect. And this one is with Coach Tim, who we interviewed today.
That is true. So the next one is Quick Fit Killer Arms.
Okay, this one is perfect for upper body. It's going to light up your shoulders and biceps. Lots of reps, limited rest, and you're going to be able to stay dialed in because it's only 10 minutes.
Right.
And this one's Coach Joe.
And finally, we're spotlighting 20 and 20 Grit and Hit.
This one gives your legs a wake-up call in another lower body workout. So you're going to torch your quads, your hamstrings, and your glutes, high repetition sets. It's going to build your work capacity and your muscular endurance. And this one is going to also include chains mode. peaches will be peaching, and that one is with Coach Christina.
So it's nice to have long workouts, but you know, as is true in so many areas in life, don't rule out a quickie.
So true, Tom.
Something else we should talk about are recovery workouts.
Yeah.
Which I am bad about doing.
You are.
I'm very dismissive of them. That's a character flaw on my part.
Here's the thing. Recovery workouts are good not only for just obvious recovery, but they're also good, again, for people who are trying to build momentum. Because let's say you do a day where you're just getting started and you did 20 minutes yesterday, right?
Right.
Well, now maybe you're a little tired and sore from yesterday and you really don't feel like working out because you're new to all this. But if you do a recovery workout, you're still moving. You're still getting a workout in. That's part of how you build that momentum. And now it becomes a habit. And it's like brushing your teeth. You just do it without thinking about it. So recovery workouts are really excellent for that. So basically, it can be anything. It can be any low-intensity exercise that comes after a day that you worked really hard. So if you're lifting heavy weights, or maybe you're a person who's, like myself, running a lot, then doing like nice, easy body weight exercising or reduced weight is perfect. So there's a lot of these. What other ways does Tonal have to incorporate active recovery?
So they have a dynamic hip opener, which is a fancy way to say stretching.
It is. So it's actually defined as a mobility session. It combines foam rolling, dynamic movements, and static stretches to improve lower body range of motion and flexibility. And I know there's a lot of you out there that are like, oh, I don't have time. But the thing is that when you spend a little time on doing things like this, it actually improves your running. It improves your cycling. So it actually is really, really good for you. And it can even make you have the ability to do deeper squats. Just saying.
Okay. And that one is with Coach Joe.
Yeah.
And there's also leg day warm up.
Yeah, this one's perfect for prepping for like deadlifts or other lower body hinging, like maybe some RDLs.
Okay.
So this is going to warm up your hips, your glutes, and your hamstrings, and it's going to build up your flexibility and mobility in your lower body. So that's a great way to do, like, if you've got a big lifting day, this is good. Coach Tanisha.
And, you know, these and also the quick fit ones are great ways to sample different instructors too.
Oh yeah, that's a really good point. Especially if you haven't had a chance to try all of the new instructors. I really feel like it's a good way to get a little bit, just like a little snapshot
right.
of who they are.
For sure.
That's a good idea.
And one more recovery one we want to put in front of you is upper body pull prep.
Yeah.
So it sounds like a Catholic school.
It does.
Where do you go? I go to upper body pull prep.
Well, this is also from Coach Tim, and this is going to help you prepare for any challenging pulling workout. You start off very slow, mobilizing muscles, increase your range of motion, and then ramp up the intensity so you're ready to go.
That's with Coach Tim.
Yeah.
Today's guest. See how we did that? All comes full circle.
It does.
Checking in with the Tonal team.
Joining us today via the magic of ZoomTube is Tim Landicho. Hey, Tim, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, Crystal and Tom? I'm doing well. How are you?
We're good. Not as energetic as you are on a Friday morning, but we're trying to keep up.
I'll tell you this. I do not have to be in the studio today. So any energy that I normally have in the morning that I would be channeling towards like getting myself hyped up, getting myself ready to be on screen, both of you are going to get it right now.
Okay. I know this is not like one of our questions we talked about, but like, what do you do to get hyped up? What does hyped up Tim look like?
I think it looks like this.
It looks just like this.
I mean, you've got no coffee. You have like, what is happening over there? It's just natural. You just wake up full of energy.
Well, so I'll say this. I'm not a huge coffee drinker, but today I actually do have a coffee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I'm not normally a huge coffee drinker. But this is an interesting question because I don't normally like, to me, it's like, oh, it's my morning, time to go to the studio. But now you're kind of making me reverse engineer, like, what do I do in the morning to like, get myself? I think so much of it is one, just kind of first off, I think a big piece for me is just knowing like what I'm teaching. I mean, like we know all this stuff ahead of time, but sometimes in the morning it's like, well, let me like make sure it's fresh in my head. So on my way to the studio, I'm kind of just looking at the document for the program and the class. I'm getting all of that in my body. And I'm usually asking myself, I love this question because this is really making me dig. I'm usually asking myself, like, what's the energy arc of the class and what's the energy arc that I want to take you as a user through, right? So like at each point of the workout, in the warm-up, what energy am I bringing? In the first block, what energy am I bringing? Where in this workout is what I would consider the peak of the workout? Or if either of you are familiar with like the hero's journey, right? And sort of that like mythological template of like a main character, a hero going through, like where in this workout is the final battle scene? And then like, and so I'm kind of doing like, I don't really know what I would call it, but like a mapping of the energetic tone that I'll bring to each part of the workout. I map that out in my mind. And then on the way to the studio, I'm kind of just like, I think locating in myself, all right, where is here? I know what energy I want to bring. Where am I personally right now? And that differs from day to day. You know, it differs depending on if it's been a long teaching week, like depending on if I got a lot of sleep or maybe less sleep than I would have liked. But if I know where I want to go in terms of the class, and I can identify where I'm at, then I can kind of bridge that however I feel is necessary. So if I'm feeling a little groggy, I might listen to more hype playlists that I might listen to in my own training outside of teaching. If I'm already feeling in a pretty good mood, you know, I might keep that rolling by thinking of like, huh, are there any like themes in my own life right now that I can maybe connect to class? I think that's my general process. And then from there, one of the most exciting moments to me is when right before the camera goes live, there is this 10-second countdown that our director is giving us in our ear. And to me, that's always such a fun, surreal moment because it kind of feels like you're going to blast off into outer space. And literally in those last 10 seconds, it's actually, there's a great book that I've been reading the past couple of weeks. It's called The Charisma Myth by Olivia Fox Cobain. And she basically breaks down what are the elements of charisma? Is charisma something you can teach? She says that there are three components to charisma, which is presence, power, and warmth, right? And you need all three of those. And she goes down a whole thing, but in those last 10 seconds before I go live, instead of, I think for earlier me, like when we first launched a year ago, would have been very in my head being like, oh, what do I say? Like, how do I open this? But like when that countdown's happening now, I'm literally just repeating those three words in my head, power, presence, warmth, power, aww, presence, warmth. And it's just kind of my way of getting into the energy of like, hey, Tim, be present, meet the user where they're at, have the authority that they need so that they can kind of not relax, but kind of trust in your leadership. And also bring the warmth that can help someone feel like, hey, my time here is worth it. And so I really try to just like bask in that in those final few seconds. And then once the camera goes live, then I trust myself to just go with the moment. But it really, really just all depends on being as present as possible. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. It is a lot of work. It's work before the workout.
Totally. Totally. I mean, it's fun work for sure. And I think it's definitely rewarding work. So
absolutely. And I think that each of the coaches do have that ability to bring that presence through. I mean, we feel it at home. So like you're killing it, Tim. You're killing it.
Oh, thanks, Chris.
You know, I thought it was interesting when you reference the hero's journey. Because Plyos of Power sounds like it should be a D&D
it
campaign.
Does.
Hilarious.
It does.
Like, you will meet the wizard Shandorf. And he will send you to the kingdom of Gygax.
Oh, man. You know, this should be a separate conversation. But I have always, before we talk about Plyos for Power, I have always, always been so curious about what D&D is all about. Because I've never actually played. But there's people that are near and dear to me in my life who are like big D&D nerds. And now I'm like, now that you bring it up, I'm like, huh. I am so curious.
It's, you know, I haven't played it since high school or college, maybe. But what's fun about it is it's a game where you're not necessarily competing against each other, right? Like you're working together towards a common goal. And so you have one person that kind of steers the story and then you'll come up with solutions. And there aren't right or wrong solutions. It's not like a video game where it's like, oh, it's got to be A, B, up, down, down.
Yep.
It's like you can come up with just crazy solutions. And if the guy running the game or girl is like, yeah, that makes sense, I'll let you do that, then you can move ahead with it.
Yeah. I love that you referenced ABAB like you were totally Nintendoing it up there.
Yeah. Because I'm 100 years old.
No, I don't know which Nintendo you're referring to, but to
I don't either.
Because it didn't exist whenever you were that age.
Well, listen, what I grew up with, Nintendo 64, N64 will always have a place that is near and dear to my heart. All like to this day, like one of my friends still has it when I visit back home. And I'm like, dude, let's play some freaking Mario Kart, Super Smash Brothers.
I feel like right now someone from Tonal is listening and is like, will you please talk about Pilots for Pilots?
I know, they're like, come on.
to the person who is listening and begging us to talk about Pilots for Power, we can do that literally.
So this was your most recent program that you did, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yep. So now I have not tried it, and I'm a little scared of plyometrics. I'm not going to lie, because I am in my mid-40s and my knees do not always cooperate. So sometimes the jumping is a little intense. Like, I get worried about it. Do you remember the program that you could do at home, the Insanity workouts?
Yeah.
Okay. So back in the day, I was doing those all the time. And like, I remember they had so many plyometrics in it. I did something to my left knee. It's never been the same ever. My fault for not getting it checked out. Don't get me wrong. But my point is that some of those jumping can be like super intimidating. I'm sure I'm not the only one. So what do you tell people about plyos of power, and how do you get them past that intimidation point?
You are definitely not the only one. When I was promoting this on my Instagram, I got a number of responses, actually very, very similar. People who had a little bit of trepidation, were a little bit on the fence, were like, hey, I'm really excited about how you position this, but also like, I have this, is this the right program for me? And what I'll say is this, actually the whole intention of Plyos for Power is to bridge the gap from somebody who had zero exposure to it ever, or a poor relationship with high impact movements, like you've described, and get them up to speed and break it down in a really stepwise fashion so that they at some point are eventually able to do that with success. And part of the reason why we came up with this was, first, we were looking at sort of the progression from beginner, intermediate, advanced, right? So different like classes or programs. And what we noticed was, in a lot of beginner programs, yes, it's a lot of foundational stuff, foundational movement patterns. And then in the intermediate stuff, there was a lot of places where these plyometrics were just showing up all of a sudden, like broad jump to back pedal, jump squat, right? But then we were like, wait a minute, for someone who's leaving the beginner stage or has one foot in the beginner stage and is wanting to put one foot in the intermediate stage, it's kind of a big jump, no pun intended, kind of a big jump to go from not doing any of this stuff to then being told to do, hey, do these three sets of jump squats, right? And you're like, am I prepared for this? What I would say, the big value proposition, if you will, of Plyos for Power is that we take what looks like from the outside a 0 to 100 approach, where it's like, you're not doing any plyos. And then all of a sudden you're doing like three sets of however many seconds of jump squats, broad jump to back pedal, skater jumps, et cetera. Instead of going 0 to 100 with Plyos for Power, my goal was really to break it down into, what does it look like to go from 0 to 20%? And can we master some of those fundamentals? Once you got that, can we take it from 20 to 40? Then 40 to 60, and then 60 to 80. And so it's more of a gradual stepwise process. And the week one, I'll give you, it's a 2-week program for people that feel like they will definitely need more than 2 weeks. I highly encourage them to go through it again, because there's no downside to going through it again. But on top of that, I also cover just basic fundamentals of like, hey, before we learn how to do those kinds of explosive movements, right? Which people think might only be for high level competitive athletes, but it's my conviction that everyone will benefit from that. We can talk about that a little bit more if it goes there. But for anyone who is wanting to be able to produce those explosive movements, the first foundation that we have to lay down is, can you just absorb force? What does it look like to absorb force, right? And then we really break it down to, okay, now how can we produce force after we've absorbed it? Then how can we produce force quickly? And then how can we produce force quickly and repeatedly? So there's all these layers that we're baking into it, so that by the time someone gets to jump squats, they know, okay, if this isn't feeling good, here's how I can regress it maybe 2 or 3 steps back. and set myself up for success without going all the way back to the beginning or feeling like I have no other options. Does that little breakdown make sense?
Absolutely. And I think I know the answer to this, but just for people who may not know the answer to this, why is it important for everyone to be able to do plyometrics, even if you're not an athlete?
I think first, I literally just realized this as I was answering the last question. For anyone who's listening, who maybe, I don't want to assume what people's knowledge is around plyometrics. Anyone who is not clear on plyometrics, you're like, what's this word you're throwing around?
That would be me.
Plyometrics, we can think about it as basically quick, explosive movements where we are training the body to get off the ground just as quickly as possible, right? So it's really all about how quickly can I make this turnaround between the time I make contact with the ground, I absorb that force, and then turn it around as quickly as possible to produce that force. So it's all about, can we be explosive? And to your question about like, all right, why would somebody need to do this if they're not a high level competitive athlete, which if we're thinking in that context, it's pretty obvious, right? You want to be able to out sprint your opponent. You want to be able to out jump your opponent. But one of the things, especially, and this is one of the populations that I have noticed throughout my career, needs it the most and is simultaneously the most scared of it, which is where I see my role as a coach comes in, is the aging population, right? So as we get older, our ability to produce power, which is really, power is really just strength times speed, right? So we all want to build a base of strength, but the speed at which we can produce that, our ability to do that declines as we get older. And so part of what that plays into is like, as we get older, as we get into 50s, 60s, 70s, people who have decreased power outputs are at an increased risk of falling, slipping, losing their balance, right? Losing their balance and not being able to catch themselves, or just normal activities of daily living, right? Maybe you are chasing your kid, maybe you're chasing your grandkid. There's still things in your life that are going to demand your body to still have to respond a certain way. And if that's not in place, you're at risk for all these things. And we know that for the elderly, having a fractured hip from a fall is actually one of the catalysts that then leads you. I hate that this sounds so morbid. The reality, it's one of the catalysts that basically leads you to a slow decline to death. Because then once you have a fractured hip, if you're already inactive as is, then you go further into inactivity. If you need to get surgery, there's the potential for lots of complications. And then if you already have comorbidities, things like diabetes, high blood pressure, those get exacerbated. And so one of the key things is being able to keep ourselves upright, like as basic as that sounds, especially for aging populations. And then another component of this is bone density. So bone density, for anyone who's not familiar, is basically how strong are your bones, right? When we look at the infrastructure inside of our bones, how strong and how much integrity does that have? When we can develop not just strength, but the ability to produce that force quickly, right? We add that element of speed. Quite frankly, we just have stronger bone density. So we're at lower risk for fractures. We just have lower risk for things like osteoporosis. So there's so many benefits for people who aren't high-level athletes. And the argument that I would make, this is a conversation that's been going on in my head over the past year, is like, how even do we define an athlete, right? Maybe I think in a lot of people's minds, an athlete is someone who competes. And I think that's definitely a valid definition. But I think as a broader definition, I think an athlete is anyone who is preparing themselves, including their body and their mind, for any sort of physical or not even physical, any sort of demands that they have to rise to. And all of us throughout the course of our lives will continue to have demands that we have to rise to, whether that is physical, mental, et cetera. And so I think all of us are athletes in some capacity or another.
It's interesting. You were talking about the importance of plyometrics. And first off, when you were listing people who could need it, the first thing that came to mind as someone who could need it would be Chumbawamba, because they get knocked down, they get back up again, they get knocked down, they get back up again. But
if you were trying to look younger, it did not work.
No. And so, but
what
then,
you didn't see was me opening up a Google tab.
Who is Chumbawamba? So don't go down that rabbit hole because it is an earworm.
But it will be in your head forever.
Too late. I already Googled it.
Yeah. So, but let me make myself sound even older when you're talking about the effectiveness of things like plyometrics. Is that it just started thinking of like, who are the famous people I can think of that are the oldest or achieved exceptionally old age, right?
Okay.
And the first people that came to mind, Dick Van Dyke, 97 years old, still alive and kicking.
Yeah.
Mickey Rooney got to like the early to mid 90s. Rita Moreno, who is still working today and she's in her 90s. Angela Lansbury, who died at 97. And what do they all have in common? Dancers.
Really?
Yeah. Every one of them has a background in dance.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, I know that's anecdotal, but not only did they live to be very old, but they were also able to function at a very high level deep into their old age. Wow. I mean, Mickey Rooney and Dick Van Dyke were both in the Night at the Museum franchise.
Oh, yeah.
So that's not that long ago.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, Dick Van Dyke was just on The Masked Singer.
Well,
Rita Moreno was just in West Side Story.
I feel like this is all kind of coming together because now I understand why you're so into plyometrics because you have a dance background. It's all right.
Yeah. Actually, that is actually my whole agenda. That's why I got into dance because I was like, you know what? I'm trying to live until I'm 95.
There you go. And you know what? It's not just living until you're 95. It's living until you're 95.
I mean,
right?
For real. Like, yeah. Like I personally would like to be as mobile as possible for as long as possible. I was just talking to somebody yesterday and they were saying like, we were talking about goals and she was saying her goal was like not to have a six pack. Her goal was like that I want to be able to carry groceries and like live on my own when I'm 90. I was like, yes, yes, I get that.
Yeah, it's a badass goal.
It is. It is. Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about your dancing background while we made this dancing connection. Yeah. Then we'll get back to programs.
I took that little pause because I think just a lot of what you said kind of took me down.
Oh, yeah.
So many different ways you could take this. But as far as dance, gosh, I think at this point, I very much just consider myself a recreational. It's a thing that I like that isn't like, yes, does being fit help? Yes. Does having athletic qualities help? Yes. But it's a thing that I actually enjoy not having to like monetize or pursue professionally in any way, right? In the same way, it's not that I don't like fitness anymore because I monetize it, but it's like when you're passionate about something and then it becomes, especially if it's your main stream of income, your relationship to it kind of shifts. And again, that's not to say that I like resent fitness or anything, but I think dance for me now it's just an escape. Like I started dancing. What year is it now? I promise I'm not that old. I can remember what year it is. It's 2023. What year did I start? It was 2012. So I'm going on 11 years now. And I never really had any sort of like formal training in the sense of like, I never took like dance ballet classes or these like foundational sort of things. I just in college, I had a group of friends who were all dancers and like we're in a dance crew. And so I would just constantly just watch them and hung out with them, eventually learned from them. And then that was kind of my introduction into that rabbit hole. And then like throughout college, we would like perform at different like events, sporting events, whatever. And then post-college, I just wanted to stay in touch with this thing that I found that I really loved. So I would just keep taking like different types of classes, hip hop classes, whatever have you. I don't know how else to describe it other than it's really just a pure love. Like I don't have like any intention. And sure, if an opportunity comes around where it's like, hey, Tim, you want to like make money off of this gig? Like I wouldn't say no. I would definitely be open to it. But like at this point, it's something that I really just do because I love it. There's times when I get home and I don't know, either it's a long week or it's a way for me to get out of my head and really, really just be in my body, feel my body and be in tune with my senses, feel the ground beneath. As someone who has experienced like anxiety for a really long time, so much of how I've learned how to deal with anxiety is to not out-logic the thoughts that are happening, but to drop out of them completely and to be like, hey, what's present right now? What's in my body right now? What am I feeling right now? Tim, look around, listen to the music, right? So for me, it's very much that. And it just so happens that I think the athletic qualities that you develop from training very much just enhance your experience of that. And so I look at the body as, I love thinking of dance as this intersection between being an artist and being an athlete. So it's like art and athleticism. And if the art is what communicates kind of like the emotions and like the message and all that, I need to have a really clear and sharp canvas if I want to convey all that to the best of my ability, right? So the artistic expression in my mind is really contingent on how fine-tuned can I get my canvas, which is my body. And so when I look at my training, like, yes, I have other goals outside of dance, but like I also look at training as a way to enhance. I mean, you talk about Tom, I think it was you who said, like, it's not just about living till you're in your 90s. It's about living, having this full experience. And I think if we take that like really big idea and boil it into dance, it's like the more control I have over my body, the better I can balance on one leg, the better I can sustain different level changes, whether that's in a half squat position or the more quickly I can get off the ground, the more satisfying my emotional experience of dances. So I think it's very much this bridge of like, it's a physical practice. The more you can fine tune that, the more you reap from the non-physical aspects of it as well, emotionally, mentally, et cetera.
I thought it was interesting when you were talking about how you deal with anxiety and you don't outlogic it. You just kind of like remove yourself from the situation psychologically for a minute. It's interesting because I do the exact opposite. Mm. I am totally like, I can outthink this.
Oh, very much.
And I'm pretty good at it. But like ever since I was a little kid, if I saw something scary on the news, like the first thing I thought was, okay, that's on the news because it's uncommon, right? Like news, by virtue of definition, is different information that you don't get every day. So if this is happening, it must be unusual or it wouldn't be news.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, therefore, it's unlikely that I'll be caught up in the fall of Saigon. I'm showing my age.
So how impressive it is that that was your thought process as a kid. I don't know that I would have ever thought that as a kid. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, this is uncommon. I've been like, that's scary.
Yeah. I was a weird child and a weird adult.
I was like, well, you're a weird adult too.
I did outgrow the weirdness.
Crystal's like, I can confirm.
Yes.
But like in the best way.
I would say consistency is key. So I am consistently weird. So how did you find yourself as a professional fitness instructor?
I shouldn't say completely by accident. And I kind of knew this from late high school, going into college, as I was pretty set on wanting to go into physical therapy. So much, and I don't think this is actually that uncommon of a trajectory for fitness professionals, but kind of the whole, like, had a bunch of injuries, pain that I worked through in college, really fell in love with like learning about my own body. Again, I think a lot of fitness professionals get into it through that avenue. But when I got into college, I was very much set on kind of going the more clinical route. So I wanted to get a doctorate in physical therapy after I got my undergrad degree. So I knew that I had to do either a science major or get my prereqs in somehow, my science prereqs and other things like that. So I did that through undergrad, was fully convinced that I was going to go to physical therapy school. After I graduated, I got my first job at a physical therapy clinic. And I don't say this as a knock on the physical therapy profession at all. I know tons of brilliant physical therapists who really want to get people back to training. But I think it was really just the business model of this. I couldn't articulate it at the time, but in hindsight, it was really the business model of the place that I was working at, where I just didn't feel, one, I didn't feel super impactful. And then two, it kind of made me zoom out and look at like the healthcare system as a whole. And I kind of started to feel a little hopeless about it. And while I enjoyed getting to interact with patients and while I very much still enjoyed learning about the human body, I just started to feel like, for lack of a better phrase, my soul was dying there. And I just was really feeling like it wasn't the best use of my skill set. So while I was there, I had already put in an application to my top physical therapy school. And then I decided to also just apply to this strength and conditioning internship because I was like, what the hell? Like, I don't see myself staying at this clinic, this strength and conditioning internship, which is actually, it was rated the top training facility in the country by Men's Health magazine. I had just been doing some research, and the way that they ran it, I was just so into it. It was like the physical therapist on the team who co-owned the facility had just such a cool way of integrating his practice with high-level athletes, with getting more general population clients back to doing what they loved without getting them trapped in this kind of healthcare model, right? And so I applied for that. I got in, and then I went there, loved it, learned so much about training. And I would consider that to really be the beginning of my fitness career, because I fell in love truly with the art of coaching, of like learning both the nuances of the technical side, the physiology side, the biomechanics side of exercise, but also learning how to convey that on a human to human level. Like, I just met so many clients there, different goals, different skill levels. And it was while I was there, I got my rejection letter from Dr. Physical Therapy School. Crazy thing is, I remember exactly where I was when I got it. And I remember feeling like kind of this big hit to my ego, but then getting over it relatively quickly. I called my mom, and then like we talked about it, told her that I didn't get in. And then like literally 10 minutes later, I was like, well, shit, I can kind of do whatever now. Because physical therapy school would have been 3 years. I'd already mapped it. I was like, after this internship, I'll be in school for 3 years. And it was at that point where I was like, I have no kids. I have no significant other. I have no pets. I don't have a full-time job lined up after this internship. So I can literally do whatever I want. And so I literally just started to ask myself that. I was like, Tim, what do you want to do? And I was like, let's go to New York City because it sounds fun. Long story short, I got plugged into a gym there, connected in large part because of my references at this internship. Thought I was going to be a trainer part-time while I applied to PT school again. But just the longer that I went through like training, like in that first year, I was like, man, I think I'm going to keep doing this. So then I kept doing it, kept pushing off the physical therapy reapplication until a certain point, I was like, actually, I don't want to go back and freaking love what I do. And it just felt like such a good fit for my skill set. I felt like I was bringing every skill set and everything that I enjoy to the table. And it just really, even now being at Tonal, it just still very, very much feels like I'm in my element. This is exactly where I'm supposed to be. So kind of the weird roundabout way of getting here, but
that's how life works, right?
It is. Like
that's,
it is. You think you're headed down one path, then life happens and it's like, oh, that actually turned out to be for the best.
My son's getting ready to go off to college, and I keep trying to explain that to him. Like, you don't know, like these things that look like failures at the time sometimes lead to your best successes. I mean, just off the top of my head, Jim Carrey, Donald Glover, Aubrey Plaza, you know what they all have in common? They all shit the bed on their SNL auditions.
Oh, shit.
Like, not, they all auditioned for SNL and didn't make the cut, which is mystifying. Like, how does Donald Glover not get on, like...
Yeah, you would think he'd be a natural for that.
Like that, or Jim Carrey. That show is tailor-made for people like that. Yeah. How did they not get the go-ahead? But they didn't, and they still found a path to success. Mm-hmm. So there's more than one way to get there.
Gosh, it's so good. And I think that, like... Literally what you just described and what you've been telling your son is something that I try to remind myself. If we loop it back to anxiety, right? Like sometimes my brain will go in these like, what if this doesn't work out? And what if? And I'm like, Tim, literally 3 years ago, not even five, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you would have had no idea that you would be doing what you're doing right now. And it is completely different than what you had envisioned. And it's way better. And so I constantly try to remind myself of that. Gosh, it's so good. It's such a good reminder.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, there's more than one way to get there. And also, you don't know where there is.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, Tonal didn't exist when you started being a dancer. It wasn't even thought of,
so
you know?
No way that you could have been like, I always think of it like Frogger. Like, this is the lily pad I need to leap to. That lily pad wasn't there when you took the leap.
Right.
Back to plyometrics. Damn, I'm good. So good.
Tom, do you host a podcast or something? Host a podcast. You're just really great at bringing these conversations.
I do this 24/7, and sometimes there's a microphone in front
of me. That's true. It is like this 24/7.
Someone give this man a microphone.
That's what he lives for. Going back to programming, I know that you and Tanisha had a little smash up this week. You had the little class together. Yeah. How did that go?
Oh my gosh, it was so fun. It was like, I adore Tanisha. I mean, I'll say this, zooming out, I freaking love our coaching team. I think just as a team, we have such good chemistry. But Tanisha and I have so much in common. And I think I have like kind of this like one-on-one relationship with all the other coaches where I could say, okay, this is kind of a defining quality of like me and Joe's relationship and me and Christina's relationship. But like, just to peel back the curtain a little bit, or pull back the curtain. What's the phrase? Pull back.
Pull back.
Pull back. Yeah.
Pull back the curtain a little bit. You can tell that I did not do theater. just to pull back the curtain a little bit, the process for making these like tag team promos that we promoted on Instagram, it was largely on us as the coaches to kind of take charge on like ideation and then, you know, loop in producer or director if we needed some assistance. So Tanisha and I, we just hopped on a FaceTime. We were like, girl, we should talk about this. Our deadline's coming up soon. So I mean, like, we FaceTime each other and we're like, how do we make our promo just something that feels really true to me and you and our dynamic? And so we're just like, what do we both love? We love music. We love dancing. We love the same type of music. I think she and I are both very big on like 2000s hip hop and R&B. And so like, surreal. And we were also kind of the first round of tag team promos, which I loved. I did mine with Akeem the first round. And she and I had a lot of fun kind of like scripting our promo video and whatnot. But she and I were like, what if we just nix like the scripting and what could we do without scripting? And so we were like, yo, what if we literally just vibed out to some Sierra? And we were like, that's it. That's the idea. So our takes were just like, it was in our hair and makeup room. We were like, we set up this camera. We were like, all right, let's just play this music. Let's take a bunch of takes of us just vibing like we're at a block party and then string it together and put text over it. It was simultaneously, I think, one of the easiest, just because it felt so organic, one of the easiest projects I've had to put together and just super fun. And then it was a lot of fun promoting it with her. And then the day of, I think even just when we were filming, she and I just have so much like organic chemistry that like the banter, we were just like bantering like left and right. And it was a hard workout. But I think for a second, I got pulled out of it and I was able to keep pushing through because I was like, oh, that's so much fun. It's just so much fun. Like kind of like going back and forth with her. I was telling someone at the studio that I was like, it's almost like you just took a conversation that Tanisha and I would normally have in the hair and makeup room and just made us do burpees while having the conversation.
It came across in the promo that you guys were just having fun. And I really liked that. It just like, It made me excited to take the class. I haven't gotten to take it yet, but I'm super excited to because you guys just seemed like you were having so much fun. I wanted to join in. I was like, oh, I want to do that.
Yeah. I'm glad that was the vibe. I mean, a lot of people are like, yo, I want in. I'm excited for you to take it. It's definitely, definitely not easy. Tanisha and I texted each other later that night. We were like, dude, how are you feeling? I think that class did a number on both of us, but we're doing fine. We're doing fine. But all I'll say is like, be prepared to work, but it is a good time. And actually she and I, we did an Instagram live before we went live on Tonal, just kind of showing a little bit of the behind the scenes process of like, hey, this is what it looks like about 15 minutes out from us going live. And someone tuned into the live and was like, do you guys have a playlist? Like, we just kept calling a party. We were like, hey, join the party. So she and I were actually working on this after we finished. We were like, dude, we need to create a playlist. And it's actually going live. I have no idea when this podcast episode airs, but like today I'm finishing my contributions to this playlist and I'm just going to share it to my story and be like, yo, T and I made this playlist because it was requested. But yeah, it's like, oh, I think it's a playlist of workout jams that I think very accurately reflect how she and I, just kind of like our energy and our vibe. So I'm excited to share that. And it was a really good time.
That's fun. Oh, I love that. Yeah. That's great.
And that's a great idea since so many people like sync their own music when they use Tonal instead of using the one that's baked in. So
that's a good option.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can pull up your playlist and do that while we're doing the class. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I would actually be curious for you too, because to me, one of the fascinating things about our job as Tonal coaches is I held on to some of my like private one-on-one clients when I first started. And then I realized that I wanted to pour all my energies, at least while I was still new, into Tonal. And so one of the things that we don't get as coaches, at least that I don't get now that I don't have like these very small handful of one-on-one clients, don't have them anymore, is this real-time feedback, right? It's like, if I'm in a training session with a client, I'm able to see in real time, okay, my words are landing this way. Okay, that clicked for them. And I feel like being on Tonal, it's a little bit more of a lagging indicator. It's like, I'll teach a class, do the best of my ability, stay as present as possible. But then it's not until like someone tags me in a story later that I'm like, oh, okay, cool. This cue resonated with somebody, or like someone DMs me later. So I would really be curious for you both, because as someone, when I was getting ready to go on here, I was just kind of looking at your guys' Instagram. And first of all, I love just what you've created, especially in like the digital fitness space, that you're like, yes, it's like the beginning of just like this phase of really building an online community of people who are like, hey, there's more options now. There's more people than ever doing digital fitness, whether that's Peloton, whether that's Tonal, whether that's something else. So I'd be curious, what have you two found most valuable about, if we keep it strictly to Tonal, or I guess you could answer this in terms of like digital fitness at large, whether it's a certain factor, a component, you can answer however you want, but what do each of you find most useful or most fun about this sort of digital fitness experience?
Well, specifically Tonal, I love the fact that I feel like I can actually do the work. So as a person who's always been super intimidated by the gym, like weights are always kind of scary to me. Being able to get into weights at home, like allowed me to actually feel like, oh, I can do this. Like it empowered me to be able to have the freedom. I don't have somebody staring at me or judging me because I picked up the wrong weights or I'm not using it the right way. So in general, all of the connected fitness space has been about me being able to do it at home on my time with what works for me and not having to like feel intimidated by other people. That's how it started. But then it also has evolved into the community at large. Like so much of my journey has been about, I come from a place of being very reserved and button up project manager, very like in my head, and I get very nervous around people. So having that kind of flipped around and having this amazing ability to talk to people from all over the world, that's been another huge part of connected fitness for me. And it's also pushed me into things I never thought I would do. I never ran more than a mile in my life until I found Peloton. And then I found all these crazy people, and I say crazy in loving way, that were like,
you can call us crazy.
And they were like, oh, we're going to go do this half Ironman and you should come do it with us. And you can do this like relay. And next thing I know, I was training for half marathon, what I'd never run before. And then riding a road bike outside and doing all these things, it's just pushed me into it in a way that I never would have done just going a traditional route. I'll let you answer too, Tom. Oh.
That's amazing. Well, first, congrats.
Thank you.
Oh, and for me, when you say, you know, like, what's the most fun? None of it. I hate exercise and everything about it.
I actually hate you.
Yeah. I do not get the enjoyment aspect of working out in the ways many people do. Like, it is just not my thing at all. I didn't start working out until I was almost 50.
Like ever at all.
At all.
Like at all.
And wow. Just for future reference, this is the part where you're supposed to, Tim, go, what, 50? I would have never guessed.
You didn't give me the chance. That was like a 3 second. That was a 3 second delay.
That's 2.5 seconds too long, buddy.
Wait, Tom, you're 50.
I don't need your pity.
I could have sworn you were 28.
I don't need your pity. So, yeah, like I think what I like about it, and I don't do Peloton, I only do Tonal, is that the dots are very close together. I do not know what I'm doing. And many times I don't even know what I'm doing after I've done it. I can't tell you how many times I've come back upstairs from working out and Chris is like, what did you do? And I'm like, I have no idea.
He'll go this pullover, this
I
thing
like
where I moved my hands over my head.
I have all my own names for the moves. Like, so,
I love it.
So she has to interpolate what I mean when I'm like, I did like the Wolverine and then I did
like a little bit of Google Translate.
Yeah. I did a dog peeing on a fire hydrant. I did like, I don't know. And so, but no, I do like the fact that like, I don't have to think about it because I wouldn't know what to do if I was left to my own devices, and I don't want to know what to do. Like, it just doesn't interest me.
Even even when
you
we
just
go on,
do it.
I
just
exactly.
I want to do it and be done. Yeah. And so, like, and I'm very religious about, like, I do programs because I don't want to come down and think about it or hunt for things, because I'll just be like, I'll spend 10 minutes and then I'll be like, eh, screw it. And I'll walk away. So, like, I'm about, I pick a program. As soon as my program is done, I pick my next program.
Oh,
that,
I love it.
And that way, when I go downstairs and on Tonal, I just have to hit next. And then I want as few barriers to my workout as possible, because at the end of the day, I don't wanna.
And that's the cool thing, is that it allows us to not have barriers. And that's amazing, because even when we go on vacation, like if you go to a hotel, they have weights there, right? Tom's done enough of this. He could, in theory, go to the gym, but he hates it and he doesn't want to be in there. And so he still goes back to the hotel room, finds something on Tonal, and then does something in body weight in the room.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He cannot stand going into the gym.
I went to the gym one time and I was just like, she was already in there working out. And I was like, hard pass.
Yeah.
And I just went right back out.
I was like, where did you go?
That is the anxiety I cannot logic myself out of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh. Well, I really, really love and resonate with what you said about just eliminating as many barriers as possible, right? And I think talking to you is such a good reminder, because as a fitness professional, I truly think this is why, Crystal, I was like, no, you can call fitness people crazy, because I think we really are, quite frankly, like, we just don't think in the same way that like a non-fitness, someone who maybe hasn't had fitness as a background, I'm like, yeah, I feel amazing when I go for, and it's not that I always want to do it, but sometimes it's so useful to hear the hard reality of like, hey, I'm super consistent, but I still hate it. Or I'm super consistent, but like, still not my favorite thing ever. I love the honesty of that. And you being like, this is what it is with me. I've accepted that I don't really enjoy it, nor do I really care why, but it's important enough that I'm going to find a way to make this as simple and straightforward and with as little barriers to entry as possible. So you can just check in, do the work, be on with my day. I love that so much.
Yeah, I don't enjoy doing it, but I enjoy the results. And I think the real challenge is there's a big lag time between when you start doing it and when you start truly seeing results. So luckily, I kind of forced myself until I could see results that were undeniable. And now it's like, now I'm like, well, I don't want to lose where I've gotten. So I have a different.
Don't let him fool you. He's getting built, like, legit. Like, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Tom, are there guns hiding under those
sleeves? There are.
It's just a big giant hoodie.
No, how dare you wear a hoodie to this? How dare you deprive us of being able to see results?
Listen, privately, he will show off his, like, triceps. He'll be like, oh, you want to feel my tricep?
I've got one now. Oh, man. But yes, I'm a legit snack.
Legit. Tom's like, I'm not a snack, I'm a meal. My gosh. What you mentioned, though, I call this at least in conversations with myself and when I was working with a lot of clients and more like a one-on-one, I still think about this as a Tonal coach, is how do I get people to the point that you described, which I like to call the point of no return, which is the point at which somebody sees something undeniable. And it could be a combination of a number of things, right? It could be the way they look, the way they feel, the way their clothes fit, the way they move better, like just feel more athletic, whatever it is. There's a certain point where somebody looks at all that evidence, because that's what it is. It's like you're generating this evidence for yourself to then show yourself, oh, shoot, okay, I am this type of person. And at that point, I know that it's a very popular book over the past couple of years, James Clear, Atomic Habits. He talks about how like one of the main drivers of habits and habit change is you actually have to switch your identity. And he talks about the difference between someone who says, I'm trying not to smoke, or I'm trying to quit smoking, versus someone who says, I'm a non-smoker. And the person who identifies with that is someone who can more easily align their actions in a way that moves them towards their goals, because it's part of who they are. And so what I love about what you described is like, you stuck with it long enough to get to that point of no return where you could see really tangible evidence that by the way, someone can't just take that away from you, right? It's not like a $100 bill that someone can run by and snatch it and be like, I got it. Like, people can't do that. I think that's what excites me so much about fitness. Like, no, is it easy? No. Is it always pleasant in the moment? No. But is it an opportunity for you to really shift at a deep level? Like, we're talking like deep cellular level. Like, we are literally shifting our body's physiology. It's an opportunity for you at a deep level to really change how you see yourself. And it's like, if you stick with it long enough, you do get to that point of no return where you see all this evidence and you're like, holy crap, I am someone who exercises consistently. Holy crap, I am an athlete. Like, Crystal, to your point, you're doing all this stuff now. And you're like, holy crap, I am an athlete. And that's an identity for you now, right? It's like, once you can get to that point where the identity is something you embody, then to your point, Tom, the actions just become easier because now it's like, how do I act out of line with that? Like, I'm someone who does identify as an athlete. So it's weird for me if I don't hit my protein goals in a day. It's weird for me if I go a couple weeks without training. You get to this point where like doing the hard thing actually becomes the easier thing. So I love what you shared, Tom.
Well, thank you. In my head, I was really back to when we first started podcasting, right? Like the first few times you podcast, you're just like, you feel like an idiot sitting in front of a mic and you don't even know if anyone's going to listen to it. And you're just, it feels like pretend. But like at a certain point, and I don't know when that point was, it shifted to like, well, we're podcasters.
Yeah, that's true.
No, it's so good. Because I think that's true across all skill sets. And
for sure.
Because as you're saying that, I can completely like see where you're coming from. And it's weird, like listening to you say that with both of you with these like very professional microphones, both of you just have this presence where I'm like, well, of course they're podcasters. Of course they are. But like, it also made me, when you were saying that, it made me think of when I first started putting out fitness content in 2019, I felt the same way.
Yeah.
And I went through these weird mental dips where I was like, is anyone even like listening to this stuff? Or is like, is this even making an impact on anyone? Or then I was like, I think there was a lot of times where I felt a lot of like embarrassment about being like, why am I putting myself out there in this way? Until same thing as you, I think it was actually a series of moments where like somebody would reach out and be like, hey, I love this. And like some, and then I was at a certain point, I was like, oh, well, I'm a content creator. I just create content. Right. But I think that's so true across all skill sets, whether it's learning how to drive, learning how to ride a bike. And I think when people get, this is something that I've found over the course of my career as a coach, is I think a lot of times people need to be reminded that fitness is a series of skill sets. It's not something that you're either born with or you're not. To your point, Tom, you didn't start working out till you were 50, which this is where I say, what? You're not 50? You're not 23? What? But like, to your point, right? Like, someone could see the first 50 years of your life and be like, oh, this guy's not cut out for it. But you started and you kept going. And like anything, it is a series of skills, right? And all the skills like proper form, knowing how to push yourself at the right intensity, not too much, not too little. With nutrition, it's like, how do I craft a meal that serves my goals, right? It's how do I stick to my goals when I'm being social? And there's all these little sub skills that fall under this big umbrella of training, fitness, nutrition. I think when I see people getting stuck and feeling demoralized, feeling demotivated, I literally take them back to like, hey, dude, how'd you feel when you first started biking? How'd you feel when you first started driving? When a baby is learning how to walk and they keep falling, do you think the baby's being like, ah, I'm so stupid, I'm not cut out? they literally just, and even though they don't have the words for it, what's happening in that baby's brain is they're taking each and every fall and they're recalibrating in their mind, okay, my balance was up, my head is huge and made me tip forward. Okay, maybe I will keep myself more upright, right? Or like whatever it is, it's a series of iterations. And that's why I love what you just described. And that goes back to a through line of my personal brand is the hashtag I use is imperfectly relentless. And the phrase that I say is showing up imperfectly, but relentlessly. And to me, those two components are so important because when you take the pressure of perfection away and you just allow yourself to show up to the best of your ability, even if it's not up to par just yet, and I say yet, because you can absolutely get there, you allow yourself the permission to show up imperfectly exactly as you are, but you don't stop showing up and you keep doing it and you keep showing up relentlessly, at a certain point, those iterations build on each other and you have no choice but to learn from them and to start to iterate in new ways. There's this point where like the skill starts to click, and once the skill clicks, the identity clicks, and then it's this whole chain of events that you're now across the point of no return. And so I love that whole spiel that you just started by describing that. I think you, both of you are phenomenal examples of that. I think it's even more powerful coming from stories like both of yours. And it's not to discredit high-level athletes, or it's not to discredit people who have been athletes since they were kids, but I think there is really something extra impactful for somebody to be able to see Crystal, or somebody to be able to see Tom and say, wow, they didn't start till later in life and they are crushing it. I can do that too. Just got goosebumps like thinking about it, talking about it. Like literally both of your stories are so good, but there is something so real about that, that someone can connect to, and it's attainable, which is why I'm such a big fan of what both you do and aww, the stories that you have and how you're fostering this community.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you. And when you were talking about like having a workout that's subpar, I always tell Crystal, like the ones where you half-ass it, the ones where you feel like you didn't do it the best, I think ultimately those are the most important ones because those are the ones that you could have just not done at all. And like, those are the ones that really move the ball forward because you could have instead done
nothing.
And
you get stronger in your mind, even if you didn't do the workout to the best, like a typical day's ability. The fact that you did it still makes you stronger in your mind. And that's important.
Absolutely. Like to your point, Crystal, it's like you show yourself, right? Like when you say you get stronger in your mind, it's like you show yourself that you're a certain type of person. I want to call this out. Like, I think you kind of like self-corrected when you said like a typical, even though it's, I think you were going to say, even though it wasn't your best, but you shifted to, even though it's not a typical day's ability. What I love about this is your best fluctuates from day to day, right? Here's the thing. Anybody can show up and crush a workout when the stars are aligned. Anyone can show up and crush a workout when they've had 9 hours of sleep, when they are perfectly fueled, when there have been no conflicts at work or with their family. But like, we know that if that was the case, like everybody, like if all of those stars were aligning all the time, everybody would be in shape. And that's just not the case. What it comes down to is like, who's willing to show up when the stars aren't aligned, when conditions aren't optimal? And not only who's willing to show up, but how do you choose to show up? It's so easy to show up with your best effort when you're feeling good. But how do you get yourself through some of those subpar or tougher moments, for lack of a better phrase? I think those are really like character defining moments and moments where you get to show yourself, yeah, I'm this type of person. I am an athlete. I am XYZ, fill in the blank, however you aspire to identify. That's an opportunity for you to show yourself that. So I love all that.
Well, it fits very well with your motto, imperfectly relentless. I love that.
No,
I do.
Absolutely.
I do. Yeah.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for taking time out of your day. I know we probably went way past the allotted time,
sorry,
but we appreciate it.
All good. I love this conversation.
It's been great.
To go back to your point about like the whole thing, like how'd you get into fitness? It's literally stuff like this, like leaving this, as soon as we get off of this interview, like I'm just like buzzing with energy. And not because I had this coffee, I think because there really is something so dynamic about like when you're in a conversation with someone and like values are aligned and you both get excited about the same stuff and there's a mutual curiosity. Like, I just want to thank both of you for having me on because I really felt like this fed me and really energized me. And I think there's a lot of just points that I think I can take with me into my coaching back on screen. Aww. And into creating content. So really, really thank you guys for having me on today.
Well, thank you.
And before we let you go,
yes,
let everybody know where they can find you on all the social medias.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So Instagram is the main one. It's at Tim Landicho. Very creative first and last name. And then for anyone who's on Tonal, you can go in the coaches section, find me. I have a very special place in my heart for all levels. I love training people at a high level, but I have a very special place in my heart for people who kind of like the former versions of Crystal and Tom. never had experience with exercise. Maybe were really intimidated by it, would consider themselves, maybe wouldn't even label themselves as a beginner. They're just like, I don't do this, period. If anyone's listening to this and that's you, there's a very special place in my heart for you. please take my classes on Tonal or a program. And also my DMs on Instagram are open. I do my best to be super responsive to meet community, especially because I don't get that one-on-one FaceTime in person with clients anymore. To me, it's really building this online community, this connected fitness community, right? Remembering what connected means. So that's so important to me. Please reach out. Please say hi. I would love to chat.
Awesome. That's wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
So I guess that brings this one to a close. Before we let you go, let us remind you that if you're contemplating getting a Tonal, if you're not someone who already has one and you're on the fence, we can save you $100. Just use the promo code THECLIPOUT at checkout, and that's cash money in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So until next week, where can people find you?
People can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/CrystalDOKeefe. They can also find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Threads, and of course the Tonal leaderboard at ClipOutCrystal.
And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/TomOKeefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/SupersetPodcast. And don't forget, you can watch all of these episodes on the YouTube. That's youtube.com/TheClipOut, the name of our other show, but these live there as well. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, keep lifting.
The Superset is made possible in part by support from Tonal.